Coverage of Arizona business and economic news on KJZZ is supported by Arizona-based CPA firm Beach Fleischman, providing accounting, assurance, tax, and management consulting services. More at beachfleischman.com.
Women around the world continue in most cases to be paid less than their male counterparts and have fewer options for career advancement. But progress has been made and momentum seemed to be building. However, the latest glass ceiling index released by The Economist says any movement forward has been stalled, with the exception of a few nations, and the U.S. isn't one of them. With me via Skype to talk more about what the index found is Roxana Willis, statistician for The Economist. Roxana, the glass ceiling index has been around for 7 years in one form or another. What is it specifically measuring?
The general principle is to look at the working environment around the world for women. So at the moment, we're including 29 countries and we're looking at 10 different indicators associated with equal treatment at work. And in the latest index, we've seen very little progress in the past year. Some of the indicators that we cover, for instance, the share of women in labour force has barely moved. It's around 64%, while males is about 80%. The gender pay gap is still largely unchanged at around 14%. The share of women in management has flatlined since last year. It's 32%. And that's important, obviously, because that's a pipeline for women in senior management. We've seen the share of women on company boards only slightly increase. That's partly due to the fact that there's a small share of seats on company boards that come available each year. But even so, that has slowed. And yeah, so just across all these measures, we've seen very little movement.
So of the nations in the index, is there something that the nations that are doing a little bit better have in common and those that are doing worse have in common?
Yeah, so definitely there's a big divergence between those that are at the top of the index and those at the bottom. The Nordic countries do well in the index. They're generally equality-friendly places. They help women to get into university and secure jobs. They also promote women into positions of management. They have quotas for women on boards, for instance, and also in terms of in politics, some of their political parties have voluntary quotas as well. They offer generous parental leave systems. So they subsidise childcare and they also offer paid parental leave for both mothers and fathers. So the Nordic countries, we're talking about Sweden, Norway, Iceland and Finland, still definitely the best places to work if you're a woman. At the bottom end of the table, we've got Turkey, Japan and South Korea. They have high gender wage gaps. They really have quite low labour force participation for women. And they have really few women on boards. For instance, in South Korea, it's only 2%. So there's definitely cultural and societal norms playing a role here.
In the U.S., there's been a recently renewed battle for the Equal Rights Amendment, which was introduced initially nearly half a century ago. So we're hearing more about it. Is that counterintuitive based on the numbers we're seeing, or are other countries really not? Is there not really a push in other countries for this as well? Because even on the index, obviously, the U.S. is not doing especially well, but at least there are a lot of people talking about it.
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing that we've noticed in the U.S. is that there is some movement and some progress. It seems to be more at the state level rather than at the national level. And this is what the index looks at. We're looking at overall what is the environment in the country as a whole. So, for instance, last year, California introduced quotas for women on boards on publicly traded companies. So that's just California. So that wouldn't show up in our index. But obviously, that is progress. We've seen that countries that introduce quotas that, you know, like Norway now has 40% women on boards. We will see some movement there. But on the whole, there's not legislation for helping women into work, especially in America. For instance, America doesn't offer any maternity leave, which obviously would encourage new mothers to return to work, or any paternity leave, which increasingly a lot of the Scandinavian countries do offer.
How much of an influence is there based on who's leading a particular nation, and how much of it is sort of the rank and file folks at the grassroots level?
I'd probably say it's a bit of both, really. You know, a lot of the women's progression for women came from the grassroots, you know, strikes, women wanting more pay, so they'd go on strike. But at the same time, you have got a lot of women rising to the top jobs. So the more women that we see in higher positions, the more women will put themselves forward to do those roles. So it encourages women to to progress in that sense. So it is important that we do have women prime ministers, women presidents, but also that we've got people at the lower end and the grassroots fighting for their causes as well. And then the more women we have in positions of power, actually, that they're more likely to change public policies that will promote equality in the workplace.
Can you talk a bit more about some of the policies generally? It could be on specific nations, it could be just generally around the world, that could lead to getting out of this sort of stalled position where things would advance.
So last year, Iceland, which comes third in our index, made it illegal to pay men more than women. So employees have to show that they comply with national equality pay standards. And if they fail to do so, they will be fined. So that kind of legislation takes women's pay equality seriously, and it will have an effect.
Roxana Willis is a statistician for The Economist, and we've been talking about the publication's Glass Ceiling Index.